How to Sell More Cars.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the How to Sell More Cars podcast. I am the voice from the sky, the eye above, Terry Lancaster. I'm hosting today. And if you've been listening to the podcast before, or if you read my book, How to Sell More Cars, you know I tell everyone that I have absolutely no use to anyone in that magic window between when someone raises their hand to buy a car and when they actually drive off the lot. I'm the marketing guy. I'm really good at driving the traffic, at building the relationships before the process ever starts. And I got a lot to say about maintaining and keeping those relationships going for years and years and years and generations. And I told everyone in the book that if you can get enough people in the dealership, if you've got enough people in your life who want to buy a car, there are people in the store who will help you close that deal. I'm pretty excited today because today we've got the guy who does just that, the guy who closes the deal. Chris Martinez, a 20 years veteran of the automotive industry, seven-time best-selling automotive author, including his new book, The Closer, which is what we're going to be talking about today, Closing More Deals, The Closer, The Automotive Professional's Guide to Closing the Deal. We're going to talk about building trust. We're going to talk about overcoming objections, and we're going to talk about the exact language that you need to use to close more automotive deals in today's wild and woolly automotive market. But first, I got to ask Chris about this. Seven books I looked at this. My favorite was, of course, the children's book, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a Car Salesman. Did you?
That's my favorite one. You know, it's funny, the story behind it. You know, in my sales meetings, I've always, you know, kind of like joked about it. I said, hey, guys, you know what? We get it. Nobody says they want to be a car salesman when they grow up. But look at where we're at. Right. We're treating people right. We're taking care of our customers. We're making dreams happen. And, you know, now I have four kids, you know, and my little ones, you know, I read to them a lot. And now they're a little bit older, you know, 6, 8, and 10. I have my oldest daughter, she's 27. But my little ones, you know, I was reading to them and I started asking, well, what do you guys want to be when you grow up? And, you know, I'm always talking about the car business, you know, how we're selling cars, how we're closing deals, how we're, you know, taking care of customers. Right. And so they all told me they wanted to be car salespeople. And I thought that was interesting. And one night I'm reading a book to my son, and I said, man, you know what? I could write a children's book. I go, you know, I just need a good illustrator, and you know, this should be pretty fun. And so I incorporated all my kids in that book, and it was a lot of fun. I put my dogs, my whole family, my wife, everyone's in there, and it's a little story about how the kids, you know, realize that they want to take care of customers and treat people right, and you know, create dreams and make things happen. So it's a great book. I it's one of my favorite books that I've written. It's actually my favorite book that I've written, and because it's got my family in there.
Yeah, I bet. And I tell you, here's my marketing brainwash. I went to and I saw it. I said, dude, I hope he had these printed up and sitting on every salesperson's desk. So when the kids are wandering around, you know, causing trouble, looking for popcorn, hey, take daddy's book, go read this, and keep them occupied.
Yeah. They've taken the kids have taken it to their show and tell, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, good. Let's talk about the closer. Like I said, I'm the marketing guy. So I talk about bringing the leads in the door, and I talk a lot about maintaining the relationships, and you talk about the follow-up too. I was really happy to see that. But let's talk about closing, the role of closing in today's market and why it's important, how it's changed, and let's just go.
You know, it's super important. I think what a lot of sales professionals forget to understand that before you go in there and close a deal, you got to make sure the customer sold on that vehicle first. You have to have done your job first, right? And a lot of times you might, you know, as a closer, you might go in on a TO and you start having your, you know, couple, you know, 2-minute conversation with them and realize that one, you're on the wrong car. You're on just the wrong, it's just the salesperson hasn't done anywhere near what they should have done. And so in the reality is in order to go and attempt the close as a sales professional, you have had to have done your job. Right. And so that's where I think a lot of people think, oh, you know, I'm going to get a manager and he's going to close it for me. And and you start having the conversation with the customer, and you understand that the salesman skipped A, B, and C part of the steps, and you're just like, let's circle back around and let's see if we can get them further in the process than where they're at. And that's, there's two distinctions, right? So the one that's the TO, where you're trying to help push them further into the actual sales process. And then the second part is when you're there, you know, they're sold on the car, you're on the right deal, and you just now you need to make sure the numbers work and you're trying to close the deal. So, and that's kind of where I break it down in the closer of, you know, once you've made that, you've landed them on the right option, now it's time to, okay, what kind of word tracks can we use? What do we do to help the customer say yes? And that's kind of what we broke down.
Well, and you talked a lot. One of the things you talked about in the book, we said you at some point you were hesitant as the manager to take the TO because you knew how you did the deal. And if you got pulled into the deal, well, I'm in the deal now and I'm going to be here for, I'm in it. And we're here to buy this car. If I got to drive to Texas with them to pick up the trade in, whatever it takes, we're going to get the deal done. So as the turnover, how do you know that it's time to bring in the big guns to make that commitment?
So if the customer's, you know, indecisive, and it's really, it comes down to a quick question that I'd like to tell the customers and say, hey, if you go in and you talk to the customer, you have your, you know, you build your quick rapport, but you basically tell them, hey, you know, Mr. Customer, on a scale of 1 to 10, how close to you are a 10 in taking delivery of this vehicle? And if they tell you they're a 5 or a 6, or they're not even, so then you know you're not even on the right car. There's something wrong with the product, right? So that's where you have to go, and you're either going to have to redemo it, go build more value in the product, your dealership, yourself, something. There's some disconnect, and that's where, you know, a lot of salespeople, when you go in, you know, if you've gone in on enough TOs, you understand that some of the salespeople are just, they're just really, you know, grasping for, you know, something. They're trying to, they need a life preserver. They're trying to tell you, hey, I need some help. And so you go in on it and you're not really, it's not really a TO to close. It's more of like, hey, how am I going to help this guy get to the next step?
You mentioned in the book, and I don't think, honestly, I've ever seen it really broken down this way. You talked about the three kinds of salespeople: the opener, the person bringing them in off the street, bringing them in off the lot, bringing them in the building; the cooler, and the closer. So I know what the opener does, and I know what the closer is. Tell me about the cooler. I want to hear about that.
So the cooler is basically the guy or girl that can talk really well to the customer. You know, they can potentially, you know, interject on heat cases. They kind of like calm the situation down, but they're making more of a friend instead of asking the tough questions that, hey, what can we do to help move you to the next step? They've gone into the friend zone. They're not really trying to push them to that next step and close the deal.
Yeah, I like that in the book when you talk about the friend zone, where you spend so much time building the relationship and dancing around and, you know, eating cookies or whatever, that you never actually do the thing. And people get mad about it. Just like in high school, you spend 6 months, you know, trying to build a relationship with a girl, and then she goes, you know, she's dating your best friend a week later because you never got around, right? So yeah. there's something to that you can't just be the relationship person. You can't just be, you're not there to make friends. Making friends is good for business, but it has to be done with some intentionality.
Absolutely. And I think I'm not going to say the majority of them, but there's a big chunk of them, of the salespeople that are, you know, right in the middle, you know, the 10, 12 car salespeople, they kind of get stuck in that side of it. And if they just learn to just ask a couple more tough questions, they could get a little further into closing the deal.
So you've got the cooler, you've got the opener. Are you thinking that the deal should have those three different people, or does everyone play that same role?
I think everyone can play that same role. I think that some people tend to get stuck in some areas and not really graduate to that next level of trying to get into that relationship type sales professional. or asking the tougher questions and being a real closer.
Yeah.
I think, you know, some people, you know, it, usually the green salespeople will get there for, you know, the first, you know, 60 days, maybe they're still kind of just opening it because they're still trying to understand the process maybe. And some people get it faster than others, but that's kind of usually how the progression is. They kind of just, somebody teaches them the relationship part. You got to be the friend, build rapport. And then people just kind of get stuck there and not going after, okay, well, how am I going to really just close this deal? You know, what can I do to help push this customer to that next step and sign?
Yeah. Theo, one of the things that I think one of the best things I liked in the book, you had a Benjamin Franklin quote in here, says the art of persuasion is the art of making things easy, not difficult. Is closing about making things easier?
Absolutely. You know, when you think about it, how many times, you know, have you know, you've sold a lot of cars, right? So when you go in on conversations with customers, usually it's just one more question. You're like one more question away from really getting out what the true objection is so that you can overcome it. And if you just ask the right question, sometimes it's so easy that the customer just says, they just lay down. I'll give you an example. I was on a TO one time, and the salesman must have been with that customer for like 3 hours. And I walk in the sales tower, and I have a sales manager going on a TO. And like 5 minutes later, he comes back in. He's got his hands in the air, and he's got the sheet. And he's like, man, we're on the wrong car. This lady's, there's no way they're buying this car. I don't know what's going on. I talk to the salesman. I go, what happened? He goes, well, that's a shocker to me. I've been with them for 3 hours. They love the vehicle. I mean, they didn't tell me anything why they didn't want this car. I mean, that's why they're still here. And I look and I turn around and they're still in the office. And I go, wow, this is unbelievable. So I said, well, you know what? Let me have a crack at it. So I go in there. I talk to the lady and her son. And within a couple minutes, I find out that the car that she was trying to buy had a scratch on it. And the scratch was probably about 3 inches long. And I said, so you're telling me, I go, well, look, let me do something first. So I got up, I said, let's show me the scratch. So I go outside, I look at the scratch. And I looked at her and I go, so you're telling me if we fix this scratch, you're ready to move forward?
Right.
And she said, yes. I put my hand out and I said, congratulations. And she shook my hand and we wrapped the deal up. I mean, this was like, it was just like super, it was so easy. It didn't mean that I was like going to go put her in a chokehold and make her sign or do anything crazy. It was just asking a couple more questions, trying to inspect what really happened, where we went wrong. And we just moved forward and closed a deal where not sure what happened to that other manager.
He came in
thinking the deal was was game over and we needed to throw the customer out.
Yeah. I think my favorite story from the book, you had another TO where you couldn't, same situation, a salesperson couldn't close the deal. A veteran salesperson worked on the deal forever and ever and ever. You were trying to avoid, let's not bring in the big guns just yet. So you literally gave it to the greenest green pea on the floor and said, go see what happens.
She had been on the floor for like 30 days.
Yeah.
Green as can be, never been in the car business. And he came in, he threw his hands up in the air and he's like, oh, this is not a deal. I can't do this deal. And I'm in the mid. I was like the only sales manager there. I'm working like multiple deals. Right. As he's telling me that, walks by a green salesperson. I look at her. I go, so you're done with the deal. You're tapping out. And then he says, I'm tapping out. I said, all right. And I talked to the young lady and I said, look, her name was Daisy, by the way. She's a really, really great person. I said, Daisy, do me a huge favor. Go in there, tell him if he stays and I make a call to the bank and I can get a rate concession, will he do the deal? And I said, say it just like that. And I looked at the senior salesperson, because you already said that, right? And he said, oh yeah, no, I said all of that. And I said, okay, no problem. I said, Daisy, go there and just do that. And then whatever he says, just draw a line and have him sign it. And she goes, okay, I can do that. 2 minutes later, she said it exactly verbatim because I asked her to repeat it to me. I go, repeat exactly what I said. So she repeats it to me. He goes back. She goes in the office, says it verbatim, gets him to sign, comes in, close the deal. So it just, you know, I as a desk manager, you have to know what's going on in the deal. You're penciling it. You're doing what you're doing. And I knew it was just had to be that it was something about the rate, because, you know, I could tell there was some of the interactions that he was doing. And I don't think the senior salesperson was really getting it. And that was just me sitting at the desk and just understanding the conversations and getting someone else to just do exactly what I asked them to do. And they did the deal. So it's just little things like that, that, you know, salespeople just tap out, that just think it's too hard. They're too frustrated. And sometimes that extra face, even just saying the exact same thing he might've said, oftentimes helps.
So, I mean, in one of those situations, it was the car. There was a flaw with the car. In another situation, it was the deal. One of the stats you quote in the book is that 80% of the people who walk in the dealership know exactly what they want when they walk in, but they walk out with something completely different. And then you spend a whole nother chapter on it's not just the car, it's the deal. So
sometimes it's the deal.
Is it the car? Is it the deal? How do you land on the right thing?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've told customers. I remember when I was selling cars, and I remember if in order to qualify for 0%, you only needed a 660 Beacon score. And when I found that out, I was like, "Wow, are you kidding me? That's like a deal." And you know, I use that as an advantage. People were leaving and say, "Hey, folks, you know, I understand you're pressed for time, but let me tell you what a deal is right now." And I told them, "Hey, as long as you have a 660 score, we might be able to get you 0%. And the minute they heard that, they're like, "Oh wow, that is a deal." And sure enough, I'd sell them a car and they'd be like, "Man, I didn't even know I was buying a car today." And it was just because I sold them the deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm the marketing guy, and I've been saying for 30 years, the most powerful words in marketing are "sale ends Monday." And you talk about creating a sense of urgency on the deal. I mean, it's all about getting that little bit of adrenaline push to make them, you know, make them want it more than they know not to want it, right?
For sure, absolutely.
So we're going to talk. I want to talk to you about follow up, because that was a good chunk of the book, and then we'll talk about word tracks that you've got in the book. But I just want to let everyone know, if you've got a question, we're going to be out of here in just about 9 minutes. I try to keep everything really quick. If you got a question, if you want to raise your hand or put it up in the chat, I'll know to come back to you as soon as we get started there. And but let's, Chris. Follow-up, I mean, the book is called The Closer, and there's a whole chapter about follow-up. You said at one point in the book that the whole game is don't let them leave. It's like, you know, the game is if you have to turn over, if you have to start all over, but if they want to leave, you're about to lose. And they still leave a lot of the time. But you say you got 96 days once they do, if you do what?
You got to follow up. I mean, I think when I was in sales, you know, when I was on the sales floor, I sold over 30 cars a month. And a lot of the times, if I couldn't close them on day one, it was the amount of follow-up that I did. And I mean, there would be times I'd do a birthday call or something, you know, the 60-day call that nobody wants to make, and people would answer. And I remember one specific conversation I had with a gentleman, I want to say his name was Daniel. And he said that, "Chris, I don't know if you're just that good or you're just the most relentless person that I've ever, you know, come across, but I am now ready to buy this car. So I will be there tonight." And sure enough, the guy came in on the day 60 call and bought a car. And it's just those little things that you don't ever forget, right? Because I mean, that just how powerful that follow-up is, that you just, you know, people are shopping that long. It's the last man standing, essentially.
Yeah. If you want them to stick around in your life, why don't you do a better job of sticking around in theirs? It's not rocket science. And you say, I mean, just easy stuff. The quick email, the quick text, the quick phone call. You talk about sending video messages. You talk about sending a handwritten note to someone you spent 3 hours on and couldn't close on, and you're supposed to send them a handwritten note to thank them for coming in.
Absolutely, just those little things. It's unbelievable how many. You know, when I was also selling, I used to do some my own marketing, and I took this from some real estate professionals. And anytime I sold a car, you know, they'd get these little, you know, postcards that had like recipes. So they'd be in front of those customers I sold every month. So it's a frequency thing, right? In marketing, you know, the rule of seven, you know, the rule of seven states that, you know, somebody has to see something at least seven times to be influenced to make a decision. Well, same thing, you know, following up is a form of marketing, and you have to, you know, reach out to these people. It's all about frequency. The more times you're in front of them, the more likelihood they're going to come back. And I think Grant Cardone said this. He says, you know, the best known product is better than the best product. And if they don't know you, I mean, you're not gonna get those at bats.
So you said the guy didn't know why he was going to buy the car. I don't know why I'm buying this car from you. Well, I know why he bought the car from you. Frequency. Frequency is the key to the unconscious mind where buying decisions are made. He may not know why he bought the car, but we know why he bought the car. Frequency.
Amen. Sells. Absolutely.
Hey, William, I'm gonna put you on camera. You always got something pleasant to add. So what do you got saying? What do you got to say, buddy? How is closing these days?
Well, as long as you are holding the conversation, well, like Chris is talking about, I mean, you're just having conversation with a new friend. That's all you're doing. And, you know, it should go and flow pretty smoothly. I mean, you know, one of the things I've always preached is, you know, if you've got a client, they're in there on an appointment call, all the kind of tedious stuff is taken care of before that customer walks in the door. The paperwork's already pretty much pre-written, as it were. Maybe you're just waiting to finalize the car, make sure that they like it before you stick that part in there. But everything else is ready to go. And then it's just, you know, print and sign and send it over to the office to let them finish out the rest of the deal for you. But yeah, as long as you're just doing everything, and what he's saying is so true. I mean, there's a little trick I picked up from some folks a while back, and I'll just share it with you guys because hardly anybody ever does stuff like this, you know. Like I got in the habit of putting a $2 bill in the gas tank as an Easter egg for after the sale. Little handwritten note, you know, thanks for trusting me with your business. And yeah, now that the dealership's gas has been expired, here's a couple bucks towards the next tank on me. And sign it, put a card in there just to remind them who you were. And you'd be surprised the text messages that you'll get a week later from people just finding these little Easter eggs you'll leave in the car.
Man, I love that. I've never heard of that one before. That's great.
Yeah, but it's something unique. You know, I went to the bank and got a whole stack of $2 bills. It's, you know, it's $200, right? And just peel one off, put a post-it note on there that you hand wrote a note to, and just leave it for them to find later on. It's powerful.
William J. McCormick from the Moses Auto Group. Chris, let me ask you this. The last third of the book, is basically word tracks.
Did we lose you?
No, my brain scattered because I was trying to do three things at once. Even when I'm not on video, I can't do all the producing stuff. So you've got the word tracks in there, and you talk in there about training, the difference between training an hour a day and training an hour a week and training an hour a month. At what point do the word tracks and how become your natural rhythm? So that they're so built in that the training is repetitive because your mind automatically goes there.
You know, I recommend training. Just you got to train every day. I mean, role playing. I mean, those word tracks for me, and the way I learned them is I literally just practiced them every day. Like if I felt like there was one word track that I kept seeing repetition on, like some common objection that I kept hearing, I would just get that one and write it down or listen to some of the other seasoned veterans. And I would just practice how to overcome that. And I would just keep saying it. And some people, you know, looked at me like, man, this guy's always talking to himself. But I'd be out there in the back and just kind of role playing by myself to try to make sure that I got this. You know, I wanted to make sure that I not only fed my family and, you know, sold a bunch of cars, but I wanted to be number one. So it was worth it for me.
So we're about to head out the door. If you had one piece of advice that you had to give to a salesperson trying to make a career in the automotive business to close more deals, we're looking for just one piece of advice. Let's sum it all up.
I tell them that they just got to train. I think most people in most dealerships I go and I do some consulting from time to time, they're just not role playing. And I don't know what it is, but they have to role play, because I'd rather them, practice and fail in front of someone else than practice and fail in front of the customer. And if they want to get really good, they're going to have to role play.
I tell everyone, thank you so much for all your time, for your answers, for your wisdom and ideas. I tell everyone that speaking as an author, the greatest single thing you can do for an author is to actually read the words that they bother to put on paper. And then if you leave a review, that's just gravy on top. That's just the best thing. So everyone here today, one, thank you for showing up. Thank you for popping in and listening to Chris talk about his new book, The Closer. He's got 7 great books available on Amazon. So take a look at those. If you want to show your appreciation for him being with us here today, head over to Amazon and pick up a copy of the book or leave the review. Chris, how can we help you? What do you got going on in your life that we can bring more value to you to make up for the value you brought to us tonight?
I'm good. I've been blessed. God is good. My family's good. Right now, the biggest thing that I'm working on right now is, finding something that I can say, this is where I want to be. I think that some of the things that I've been working on the side are, I've been doing some consulting for a company called SelectFi. And, that's a great company that's got some great technology. And so I've been doing some work with them. And I've done an investment in a company called This Car, and it's coming. It's doing really well in Houston right now, and you'll see it more down the road.
All right, I'll shoot me those links, and when I put the show notes up, I'll get links to both of those things going on in there. If anyone else has a question, raise your hand. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Looks like we're done. Chris, I appreciate you, buddy. William, as always, I appreciate your time and seeing your face. Thanks for popping in. Kelly, thanks so much for popping in. Chris, thank you for your time. We'll see y'all next time. Be well.